Congregation, please turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 139. We're going to look at this psalm together in connection with Lord's Day 9 of our catechism in our confession in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 139. As you're turning, we need to recognize from the outset that one of the reasons why we as believers can take such comfort in this psalm is because at the time when King David is writing this psalm, he has also found himself in a situation of distress and fearing the enemies of God. He knows what we find to be patently true. We find in our catechism that we live in a sad world, a veil of tears. Yet in the midst of this sad world, David knows that he is known by God, even as a child is known by his or her father. Psalm 139, to the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you, and I was being made and secretly, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. And in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So far, God's holy word. Let's also turn the back of our Psalter hymnals to Lord's Day 9 of the Catechism, page 876. 876 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnals. The Catechism, continuing along that path of the Christian's comfort, now begins its exhibition of the Apostles' Creed, beginning with the first line of that creed. The Catechism asks us, what do you believe when you say that I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father for the sake of Christ his Son. I trust God so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul and will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this veil of tears. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. So far, the summary of God's holy word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it mean to you to be known by God? Perhaps for some of you, the thought of being known by God in the way that the psalmist describes here in Psalm 139 is a rather frightening thing. After all, to be known by God in this way means that God knows you even better than you know yourselves. All your sins, all your bent affections that come out of your heart are before his sight. Certainly, this knowledge that God has for all creatures has driven some to hate God, to despise God, to want nothing to do with this all-knowing God. Tormented by the knowledge that one day they will stand before a God who knows them even better than they know themselves is simply too much to bear for some people. And so it came to pass in human history that when this all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful God finally sent his only Son into the world to save the world, that wicked men crucified the very one who came to save. Perhaps if they crucified him, perhaps if they killed him, they could silence him. Perhaps if they crucified him, they could silence the condemnation he proclaimed against their unbelief. But there is no escaping this all-knowing God. Because on the day of Christ's return, all men and women, all boys and girls will stand before the all-knowing one. And many will do that in fear and terror. But that will not be the case for the righteous, not with us. Because on that day of Christ's coming, the righteous will stand before the same God, not as servants of Satan, but as sons of God, as those who are known by God in covenant love and faithfulness. We will stand before those who have been adopted by God in Jesus Christ. We will stand before the all-knowing one in joy and gladness as his sons and daughters. So what does it mean to you, people of God, to be known by God? Well, according to our catechism, to be known by God can be compared to the way in which a child is known by his or her father. Boys and girls, good fathers know their children, don't they? They can tell when something is the matter. And good fathers love their children. Good fathers love their children because when they see their children, they can see little glimpses of themselves. In much the same way, our Father in heaven loves us as he sees glimpses of himself in us when he sees us being remade in the image of Christ after goodness and righteousness and holiness. And just as good earthly fathers know their children in a much greater way, our Father in heaven knows us. He knows all our paths and all our ways. And all our days have been written in his wonderful book even before the foundation of the world. Do you believe that this morning? That all your days have been written in God's wonderful book? Boys and girls, I'd imagine at least some of you have learned in English literature class how most stories follow that similar structure of beginning, middle, end, of an introduction and then rising action and conclusion and then resolution and conclusion. But one of the things that most good stories have in common is that by the time you've gotten into the middle of the story, the main character has found himself in a rather stressful or distressing situation. And yet as you read the story, you have an innate sense that in the end, good will triumph over evil, that the author will resolve all the conflicts, and that joy will burst through the sadness that had propelled much of the story forward. Well, if you were to think this morning of human history as God's story, of all your days being part of that story, all your days being written in his book, then it is a great source of comfort, isn't it? It is a great source of comfort to be lovingly known by the God who is the providential author of the story. It's comforting because we can know that even in the worst and most saddening of days, even when we're not sure what's in store for us in the next chapter of our lives, we can rest in knowing that all our days have been written in His wonderful book. And even though we might not know what's on the next page of our lives, God has been gracious, has He, and He has told us what's on the last page. You and me in paradise with Him, seeing our Savior face to face, where sadness and tears have been swallowed up by the joys and glories of heaven. Even in this sad world, this veil of tears, beloved, you are known by God. You are known by a God who is with you, who has written all your days in His wonderful book. That's what we find here in this psalm and in this Lord's Day of our catechism. That the one who made you has not, and He will not abandon you in this sad world. But as your God and Father, He will lead you in the way everlasting. He will do this according to His eternal counsel and providence. And so as we dive into this psalm, I want us to consider these three things. Consider these three things about your God and Father. Firstly, He who searches you also knows you. He knows you even better than you know yourselves. Secondly, He who holds you will also light your path wherever you go. And finally, He who formed you, He who knit you together in your mother's womb, He has also written all your days in His wonderful book. One of the wonderful things we find in the first six verses of this psalm is the intimate relationship that exists between the Lord and His covenant children. As David begins this psalm of praise, we come to see it. The Lord has an invested interest in David's well-being. And because of that, David can be sure, he can trust that God will answer his prayer in verse 24. Lead me, Lord, in the way everlasting. According to David, who is also a child of God, a man after God's own heart, to be known by God is a comfort that is greater than he can fully begin to grasp. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot begin to attain it. David opens with these words, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, and you discern my thoughts from afar. David knows that he is known by God. Perhaps some of you are here this morning and you are longing to be known. Perhaps you feel like there's nobody in this life who really knows, who really understands you. Perhaps you feel as though there's nobody who really knows your greatest fears or your biggest dreams or your most trying struggles. Perhaps some of you are tuning in this morning and you feel as though you are invisible, as though you've gotten passed over or lost in the shuffle. If you can relate to any of these sentiments, this morning, congregation, God's word speaks a pointed message of comfort to you. Because even if you feel as though there's nobody who really knows you, the word of God says it is not true. Your Father in heaven knows you. And He knows everything about you that makes you you. He knows your insecurities. He knows all your perceived inadequacies. He knows your greatest fears and your biggest dreams. And even before the words are on your tongues to pray for that which you desire more than anything else in the world, even those things are known by your Father in heaven. Notice how King David has opened this prayer by addressing God with His covenant name, Yahweh, translated Lord in all capitals in our Bibles. You see, David knows that the Lord is not only Almighty God, He's not only all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful, but He knows that the Lord God Almighty is also the God of the covenant. He is also the God of covenant fellowship. He is His faithful Father. And so by addressing God as such, David invites us to consider again, to remember again all the times throughout the redemptive history that God has come through for His people Time and again, God has proven that He knows all their hurts. He knows their struggles. And that He loves them far more than they could ever begin to imagine. What an amazing thing it is, congregation, to know that even if I feel like I am invisible, that God sees me and God knows me and God sees you. And God knows you even as He saw and knew the people of Israel in Exodus chapter 2. At the end of that chapter, we found the people of Israel in a situation of oppression and slavery. They too are perhaps beginning to wonder, are we invisible? Or has God forgotten us? Are we still known by God? But what does Moses tell us? Their cry for a rest from slavery went up to God, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered His covenant. God saw the people of Israel. And God knew their suffering. God knew their bondage. God knew their hurts and their pains. And this is the kind of personal, sympathizing knowledge that David has come to know here in Psalm 139. God does not abandon His people in this sad world. But verse 5, He hems them in behind and before. He lays His protecting hand upon them. God knows the sufferings of His people, and He moves towards His people with tenderness and compassion. He is never indifferent towards you, congregation. But as your faithful Father, He loves you even as much as He loves Jesus. You believe that? In virtue of your union with Jesus Christ, God looks at you and He says, "You too are my beloved son, my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased." He loves you even as much as He loves Jesus. On these first few verses, an old Dutch Reformed pastor once reflected on what it meant to be hemmed in by God. He says, "As a pastor, I have stood at many deathbeds. I have stood at many deathbeds where the torch of life was burning very low, the hands lying helplessly on their blankets, the tongue no longer able to speak. But in those moments, I have learned more fully who the Lord is. Behold, there is not a word on my tongue, even when no words can leave my mouth at all. When God does not know me altogether. Even at death's door," he says, "God has hemmed His child in behind and before. He has laid His hand upon her. Even there, God in Christ stands beside her. He covers her back. He holds His arm around her and forever holds on to her. And He is ready to take her to be where He is." In this congregation is your God every day of your life, here and now. This God who knows you, boys and girls, He is with you in the ordinary, when you are sitting down and when you are rising up and when you are laying your heads to rest at night. God sees you. And God knows you. And because we believe in Him, this God who knows our every need even better than we know ourselves, we can leave worrying to the world. He will provide you with whatever you need for body and soul, both in this life as well as in the life to come. And He will even turn to your good. Whatever adversity comes your way in this sad world, this veil of tears, He who holds you, He will light your path wherever you go. The second major thing we see in this psalm is that the Lord's presence is everywhere. He perceives all things in all places. And the comfort of the believer, congregation, is that God is everywhere present for our good. And David shows us that vividly in verses 7 through 12 of our passage. David contemplates the vastness of the universe, the immeasurable distance of the world, and he comes to conclusion that even in his small and finite existence, this God of the universe is always with him. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. With you the night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. David is emphasizing that the Lord is present everywhere in order to protect his children. That's why he does what our catechism says he does. He upholds and rules all things according to his eternal counsel and providence for my sake. He upholds and rules all things by his counsel and providence for your sake, so that you might learn more and more to place all your trust in him. Do you trust this all-knowing, all-present God this morning, congregation? When you feel like you are all alone and have nowhere else to turn, do you place your trust in this God who knows you, who is always with you? Or do you instead turn to the comforts of the world? Where do you turn when you are most afraid? David shows us the child of God is protected by his Father's hand wherever he may be. Even if you find yourselves in thick darkness, in the thick darkness of struggling with besetting sins, or in the thick darkness of fighting cancer and disease, or in the thick darkness of the valley of the shadow of death, God is with you. God is with you by his Son who said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, will have the light of life. Do you know what Jesus is saying to us this morning, boys and girls? Never will you get lost in the dark. Never will you get lost in the dark, beloved. Not even death can separate you from the brightness of the presence of God, because even the darkness is not dark with God. What does that mean to you, congregation, that with God you have a guiding light in the darkest of moments? What it means is this: not even hell, brothers and sisters, can separate you from the gracious presence of God. Even if I make my bed in Sheol, says David, sometimes meaning place of the dead, other times hell. Even if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. We hear it said all the time, you made your bed, now lie in it. But don't you hear what our Father in heaven is saying to us this morning? He's saying, don't you see, don't you understand that you've all made your beds in hell? Don't you say you made your bed in hell by choosing sin over me? But you need not lie in that bed, because I will lie there for you. And that's exactly what he did when his hand went against his only begotten Son as he hung upon the cross, so that that hand might become a place of safety and security for us. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? The answer is nowhere. But by his hand he leads you, and by his right hand he holds you. And that's a good place to be, is it not? Held fast in the right hand of God. As you know, that's where the Lord Jesus is right now, seated at God's right hand. That's a place of security, congregation. That's a place of honor and victory. That's a place of royalty. And for the sake of Christ our Lord, that's precisely where you are, Ephesians 2, verse 6, seated with Christ in heavenly places, at God's right hand. Because the eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is also my God and Father for the sake of Christ his Son. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is your God and Father for the sake of Christ his Son. And so even in the midst of all the sadness that accompanies living in a fallen world, and even in the midst of so much pain and sorrow, our catechism teaches us you need not worry. You need not fear. The Spirit of Christ is here. He is here with you in the darkness and the shadows. And as your faithful Father, God cares for you far more than you'll ever fully know. And so we need not lose heart when life goes dark, congregation, because God does not abandon you there. We need to cling to this promise, congregation. In the midst of having members who are fighting cancer and members who are immunocompromised and so many other things, our own congregation, we need to hold fast to that promise. That we need not lose heart when life goes dark, because God is with us there. He will not abandon us there, because he lights your path wherever you go and he leads you in the way everlasting. Consider with me finally God's ability and his desire to do just that, to lead you in that way. For he who formed you has also written all your days in his book. David trusts in the Lord, congregation, because he is the God who knit him together in his mother's womb. He is the God who has written all of David's days in his wonderful book. And that's what the authors of our catechism want us to see this morning. That because all our days have been written in God's book, we too can trust him. On that basis that God is sovereignly ruling and upholding all things by his counsel and providence, on that basis that all our days are written in God's book, on that basis we make our confession. I trust God. I trust God so much, I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul. Because all our days are written in his book, we make our confession. I trust God so much, I do not doubt he will turn to my good whatever adversities come my way in this vale of tears. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God will turn to your good, even the adversities that come your way? It's sometimes hard to believe that, isn't it? It's hard to trust God when life isn't going according to plan. Certainly, that's been difficult for me to do that very thing. This wasn't the way I thought I'd be starting the ministry, not seeing my congregation for 3 months. It's not always easy to trust God when life isn't going according to plan. It's hard to trust the promise of God's word, that the plans that God has for us are even better than the plans that we would make for ourselves. Because we tend to think that we know ourselves so well, don't we? After all, who knows me better than me? Who knows what I need better than I do? But David reminds us again that God does. God knows me better than I know myself. God knows what I need better than I do. It was God the Father who formed your inward parts. It was God the Father who knit you together in his mother's womb. In other words, God knows you, people of God, from the inside out. Even when you were made in secret, your frame was not hidden from him. His eyes saw your unformed substance. And in his book were written every single one of them. All the days that God had formed for you, even when as yet there were none of them. Do you praise God for this, brothers and sisters? That you really are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God knows you even better than you know yourself, and that his plans for you are better than the plans that you would make for yourself? We need to believe that when plans don't go our way. We mustn't ever imagine that God has somehow gone against us, and yet that's what we tend to do, is it not? This wasn't the plan. God must be against me. I have to imagine the people of Judah must have felt the same way when she was being dragged away into exile. This wasn't the plan. This wasn't how our lives were supposed to turn out. Perhaps they thought about David's words. Even these days? Or even these days of being drugged from Jerusalem, these days of the temple being destroyed, these days of being brought into Babylon, or even these days written in God's book? Congregation, what do you make of those days? What do you make of those days when God allowed for his people to be dragged into Babylon, for his people to be cast into the burning fiery furnace and into dens of lions? What do you make of similar days in your own lives? What do you make of those days of cancer and disease and sickness and tears and pain and death? Do you believe that even those days are written in God's wonderful book? David tells us, yes, beloved, even those days are written in God's wonderful book. David exclaims elsewhere in Psalm 56, you, O Lord, have kept count of my tossings and turnings, and you have put all my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? What comfort and encouragement the faithful remnant of Israel must have taken in those words of Jeremiah's prophecy as they're being dragged into exile, dragged into Babylon. They are dragged with the promise of God's word. I know my plans. I know my plans, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and for your good. Plans to give you a future and a hope. I know my plans. That's our promise, congregation. That's our promise. We know from the Bible that God's promises for a glorious future cultivate within us a living hope. To exercise a faith on tiptoes that peers over the sadnesses of this life into the glories of the life to come. A hope that keeps our gaze fixed on those glories to come when we suffer the trials of the present. The catechism reminds us again that our God and Father is the sovereign Lord of creation. Nothing comes our way by chance or happenstance. But all things are being directed according to his eternal counsel and providence. And so even in the midst of so much distress and anguish, as men of blood are pursuing David and speaking against God with malicious intent, and they're taking his name in vain, David takes refuge in his God and Father. He leaves their demise to the God who has written all of our days and theirs in his providential book. And so what more can David say? What more can we say? How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more than the sand. And David's not just dreaming all this up. He says, and behold, when I awake, I am still with you. And because David knows that he is the Son of God, he can pray. He can pray in verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way within me." How can King David pray like that? Perhaps that's a scary prayer for some of us. Search me, O God, know this heart. Know my heart. David knows that God has answered his prayer from Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me, O God. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. And so we pray. And so we pray with the same hearts this morning, having the same hearts of our faithful older brother Jesus beating within us. Sons and daughters of God. And so we know the Lord God, He will lead us in the way everlasting. The Lord answers that prayer in Jesus Christ. Even in this veil of tears, He leads you and me in the way everlasting. He alone is able to do it because He is Almighty God. But more than that, He desires to do it. That's the way in which He loves you more. He desires to do it because He is your faithful Father. And the one who made you has not and will not abandon you in this sad world. And so we can rest assured this morning, congregation, that He will lead us in the way everlasting. He will lead us in that way until the chapter of this creation finally comes to a close. And we can take heart in knowing that even our days in the world to come, even those days, have been written in God's wonderful book. When we shall see our Savior face to face. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious God and Heavenly Father, You have indeed searched us and You know us. You know when we sit down and when we rise up, You discern our thoughts from afar. In this knowledge, and we consider it in light of Your providence and in light of Your fatherly care for us, it is too wonderful. It is high. We cannot begin to attain it. We cannot begin to attain what grace You have shown to us, and that we too are called sons and daughters of God for the sake of Christ, Your Son. Father, help us to rest in Your providential care. Help us to rest in the promise that all our days, even these days, are written in Your wonderful book. May we make that our testimony to the world, O God. May we go forth into this world and say, do You know that all my days have been written in God's wonderful book? Do You know this, God? Father, we thank You that though we made our beds in hell, You have not made us lie there. And we thank You that You gave us Your Son, Jesus Christ, to lie in that bed for our sakes. And that in virtue of His resurrection, He has raised us also already to newness of life, and He has given us new hearts that we too can say, search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our anxieties. That because of Him, we too can open up our hearts as a spiritual MRI, trusting in the promise of Your word that You give us clean hearts and new spirits. And so we praise You, Lord, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we praise You for having written all our days in Your wonderful book. In Jesus' name, amen.